Let's see. Cool. Recording. Welcome, everybody. This is BC. Supreme Being is a podcast I started a while back. This is another episode. We do it every Monday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As always, I start with my three sponsors, Team BC, my real estate team. We can help you worldwide, whatever you need. Contact us at teambcsold.com or you can email us at teambcsold@gmail.com. Secondly, Modern Success. Shout out to Modern Success. We've had four people join today alone. The coaching program and mentorship program is exploding. I'm excited. We have our first live event February 2nd for members only here in LA. Man, it's just blowing up. I'm excited. If you're interested, go to joinmodernsuccess.com or you can go to briancasella.com and go to the coaching tab and sign up. And third, eXp Realty. For those of you who are interested in joining eXp, you can go to join.exprealty.com and submit your application, or if you want more information, you can contact me and I can guide you. Okay. So now that that's out of the way, we're coming into pretty much the end of the holiday season, right? We got what, two more weeks roughly. And there's been a heightened state of stress and anxiety for most people, right? How do you RSVP for the event? We sent out an email to everybody, brother. If you didn't, contact Greg, teambcbriancasella.com. So it is deemed the most wonderful time of the year, yet we see most people exhibiting the opposite. Okay, so follow me for a second. One of the biggest issues people deal with in life, and especially during this season, is one big word that starts with W. They worry. And worry is an emotion that weighs on you. Worry is an emotion that causes anxiety that now takes your mental faculty, your mind, and starts to produce negative images, which we've talked about, and basically spirals you down a path of self-destruction. Okay? Yet, we've been told that we should worry about things, but it's been disguised as something else, right? And the more we look at this, the more I find holes in it, and the more I realize that the average person worries the majority of the day, and they're not even realizing it, okay? When you do something for so long, worry first begins as a mental process. Let's get this clear, okay? It sparks from either somebody passed it down to you, you were taught it, maybe you had one moment of actual worry, and you fed it, right? You gave it more attention and it began to grow and grow and grow. And eventually it goes from the conscious to the subconscious, meaning it now has become just a part of you. And we can say, if we can look at and label your brain as a computer, it's now been downloaded and it's a program running in the background. Like, you know, on your computer, if you look at the bottom, there's always a couple programs running in the background, right? And until you actually click on them and look at them, you don't realize a lot of times that it's running. It's running in the background, but it's running though, right? It's taking up memory and space in the computer. You know, I don't know too much about computers, but it's occupying some of the RAM. I think it's called random access memory or something like that, right? I'm not a computer whiz, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you get what I'm saying. That's running automatically. Now, before then, that program had to come through a download, a CD, had to have the correct software to be uploaded or downloaded to the computer and then turned on, right? Every time you reboot the computer, it turns on. And some of that stuff automatically turns on. Now, this is very relatable to the human condition because many of us have been on a daily, right? Because you sleep, then you wake up, boom, boom, boom. You're doing this stuff over and over and over and over and over. And now it's become so automatic that it has become a normal part of your existence, meaning you're not aware of it. And it's running without you realizing it. Now, when it's below your awareness, meaning you're not thinking, oh, hey, I caught myself right now, I'm worrying. It's going beneath your radar and you're not catching it. Okay? Now, what I mentioned in the beginning is very true because this whole worry causing an emotional destruction throughout your mind and your body that now becomes your automatic way of living, you become addicted to that. Like, you literally become addicted to it. This is why the groups that we know that gossip and drama that are always caught up in negative shit, this is why they stay there as miserable as that seems from the outside, just like we would look at any drug addict and say, wow, I feel sorry for them. Whoa, they look horrible. They're missing their teeth. Their skin is discolored, right? They're just, their life is in shambles. The addiction of that said drug is so strong that their current skin and mental condition is secondary to the feeling and rush they get from that drug. Hope you're all following me so far, okay? Now, if you think of your emotions as a drug, you'll be able to make this connection a lot easier because it's true. So the people who worry, feel sorry for themselves, are constantly depressed, and that are stuck in that cycle, look at them, or if you're exhibiting these qualities, maybe it's not that extreme degree, but at all, look at yourself and say, man, I'm like a fucking drug addict. That's going to snap you out of it for a second and say, okay, I have to make some changes here. This is more serious than I thought. I'm not even aware of what's going on. I know people who all they do, probably 80, 90% of the day, is worry or some deviation of the word worry. How are you supposed to get ahead in life if all you do is worry or you feed yourself all these negative emotions all the time? Think about that for a second. If I said, what do you do all day, Mr. or Mrs.? And then you told me the truth, right? And all the stuff that you weren't aware of suddenly popped up into your mind and we downloaded, right? Like your mind was the computer and I connected a printer to it and I, you know, typed out, okay, let's print out what you did and what you thought for the day. And then I get a sheet and I look at it. I'm like, look, the emotion of worry was fired off in your body 90% of the day today. No wonder you're not getting anything done. All you do is fucking worry. Are you aware of that? And you would say, well, no, it's just a program running in the background, I guess. Now, many of us are in environments or around people who have fed us those emotions, or we observed it growing up, and we think that's the state of being. Because when you're a kid, you're naive. You're not aware of the world. So if your family unit, whoever it was, wherever it was, all they did was talk about negative stuff, complain, worry about bills, and this is all you observed and heard. And again, as kids, we're very, we can say, like a sponge. So if they're constantly looking at bills and stuff in the mail and feeding to you and the environment negative energy, you're going to pick up on that, and suddenly you're going to associate negative emotions with the mail. Now when you grow up, you're going to dread going to the mailbox and now looking at the mail because you're automatically going to assume something in the mail is negative. Now, how many of you watching live, when you see something in the mail, maybe you're already looking for something and expecting it to be negative? That's an example of what I'm talking about here. You're already in that state, which means in that moment, or me just saying it right now, you caught it. So immediately you have to write it down and make it a task to change this. Because some people might say, well, every time I do look in the mail, a bill comes. Okay, that's not negative. Everybody has fucking bills. Everybody, me, you, some of us have more than others. The response you're giving has already been programmed. Now, think about that. Until I told you, maybe now you're like, oh shit, you're right. How long have you been running that program? 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And think outside of this example of the mail too. It could be anything. Some people, when they look at their phone and somebody calls, they're already complaining. Whether it's a certain individual doesn't matter. I had to break myself out of this because for a while, every time my phone would ring, it was like a trigger for me to get upset because I'm like, motherfucker, my phone fucking rings 24 fucking 7. Some of you have been around me. I've changed that because I realized I was falling into that trap mentally, and you can never do that. You have to rid yourself of all these mental traps. Because what that is saying is something outside of me has control of me. Again, we're right up the alley and walking the same street as addiction here, which is the same thing. That drug, that pill, that powder, that syringe and liquid has control over me. I cannot exist without that, or my whole day in existence revolves around that thing. This is how worry comes in. Everything, now you look at everything, what do I need to worry about? Oh my God, we're going to go here. We're going to go on the plane. Well, shit, I got to bring this. Well, what if the plane crashes? And What if we're late? What if something happens? I've actually been around a lot of people who constantly worry, and goddamn, is it fucking draining and annoying? It's like you just want to tell them, shut the fuck up. Now I tell them, like, dude, all you do is fucking worry. Has anybody ever told you that? Like, 9 out of 10 phrases that you say are some sort of I'm worried statement. You're just not saying I'm worried. But then you look at everything about that individual who falls under this category of worry, the way their face is, how they communicate, the way their life is, everything exhibits somebody who would worry. Now, let's take a look at the grand scheme of life. Somebody who's always stuck in worry. Let's say a beautiful, rare, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is presented to them. Do you think they're going to see it for what it is? And it's like, here you go. Life is giving you an opportunity. They're either not going to see it, they're going to look for holes in it, they're going to complain, they're going to say too good to be true, they're going to say a bunch of shit and think a bunch of shit and now distort this opportunity, and they'll find stuff to worry about in order to avoid it. Now, I picked worry because I think it's one of the most destructive emotions. It's near the top. For sure. Now, you may have moments of being a little bit worried. That's fine. That happens to all of us. How long you let it fester and how long you let it cling to you is what's important and what you need to focus on. Because as a human being, you will feel all the spectrum of emotions, for sure, from good to bad to everything in between. But when we start identifying ourselves with certain emotions, right? I believe if we're going to look at this, if I remember this correctly, when you feel a certain emotion and you start triggering it more and you start identifying it with it more, we can call it your mood now, right? It starts being your mood. You know, oh, so-and-so is always in a bad mood, right? We've heard that. Then after a little bit more time, that now becomes your temperament. That's the word, where that's a tendency. You've been carrying that for a couple weeks now, maybe a couple months. Now, eventually, if that's done for enough time, like 6 months, a year or more, that has now become a personality trait of yours. And this is where now it starts digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And now it's to the point where when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see that. Oh, they're just a person who over worries too much. Oh, they're so-and-so. Like when someone describes somebody and says, this person is blank, 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 blank. That's now a personality trait, which means they've been carrying that emotion or that thing with them for a long time. Now, if it's something that moves you forward and is beneficial to you, your psyche, your progress, or whatever it is, cool, run with it. Understanding this mechanism, you can now think about, create certain emotions, which you can. Emotions are created. Here. For the most part, right? Now, if something outside of your control, right, a lion walks into your fucking room, of course, you're going to feel a surge of adrenaline and fear. That's different. But for the most part, I would say the majority of emotions we feel are created, especially the ones you hold on to, right? So now, mood, temperament, personality. What has become a part of your personality now? If I was to describe you or to say, hey, Bob, Julie, whoever it is, if someone was to describe you, what would they say about you? Or I got people who know you and said, hey, describe so-and-so to me. Are you going to be okay with what they say? Would they start saying stuff and you'll say, no, that's not me? Because to the degree that that's true, you're running on autopilot and all these emotions that they're describing that you claim you don't have or you don't think you want, you don't have. Or here's the key, that you don't want, but you still exhibit those outbursts or the manifestations of that emotion. That's running on autopilot. That's, or you've been doing it so much, it's in your unconscious mind now. So now you have to go through the process of ridding yourself and changing this stuff. And the first part is simply being aware of it, right? If I'm aware that I don't know, for example, have road rage, I can start changing that now. I used to get a little pissed when I drove. That doesn't happen anymore. I just laugh. And if I do have a little moment where I do get upset, I laugh right away. Because I know it's stupid. Give me a second. 1 second. I don't know what's worse, having this cat or a kid, right? Yeah, there was knocking shit over. Anyways, the beauty in this is you can change, ladies and gentlemen. I'm somebody who, if you talk to a lot of my old peers from 5-10 years ago, and they were to describe me now versus 5-10 years ago, they would say completely different person. So that's the good news, is you can change. The question becomes, what are you willing to go through? What are you willing to do to change? And it's not an easy process, because everything around you wants to keep you the same. Other people that you think are your friends want you to stay the same. Because as much as we want to think everybody has our back and wants us to succeed, most people around you, if you start doing better than them, they're not going to be happy. And they're subtly going to throw jabs at you, make stupid comments, talk behind your back, and do things and cause things to happen around you that will make you changing uncomfortable. And I remember experiencing this stuff. And then I immediately told myself, just like I told you a minute ago, the version of me, that new personality trait that I want, how would they respond to this? Would they let this stop them? Or would they keep going? Would they ignore it? Would they overcome any of these adversities? Of course. Of course. So now you start acting from, thinking from, that's the key, thinking from the new perspective, which then in that moment gives you the answer to what you're supposed to do. Case in point, the 5-year version of me in that old case of road rage, would that person of me, wealthier, stronger, more confident, whatever it is, more grounded, would they respond angrily in traffic? No. They'd be listening to an audiobook in their own world. There's my answer. Now, as long as every time an incident happens and I respond more favorably, even if it's incremental, but it's improving every time, then I'm making progress. Good. And I can pat myself on the back and keep moving forward, because I know every single moment, every single day, I'm getting closer to where it is that I want to be. Because every action is being recorded. Every thought is being recorded. Every emotion you feel is being recorded into your neurology. And I think people just don't pay enough attention to it. They think it's okay to do that stuff. And I made a post earlier on Facebook, and I believe I posted it this morning, right? I always post little quotes on Facebook and people love it, right? I said, if people would begin to pay attention to every little thing from the moment they open their eyes in the morning until they close their eyes at night, it would become very clear to them what they're doing wrong and what they need to improve on. And I don't know how many shares it has now, like a dozen, and you know, so many likes, which really doesn't matter, but it's a message that's true. And it ties directly into what I'm teaching right now. Awareness is the word. I always come back to that word all the time. We need to be more aware. Less floating, more awareness. Because then, without even adding anything new, it becomes very clear what we've done right and what we've done wrong for a very long time. And the more we're exposed to this, the more we're in awareness, it becomes much easier over time to be in that state of awareness more. So I invite everybody after this podcast, when you have a moment, or if you're right now, you're sitting and you have a pen and a paper, right? I always recommend doing that over being on your phone. There's just something to putting a pencil or pen to paper. Write down the answer to that question. What is your personality? Maybe five things, right? Super enthusiastic, right? Whatever it is that you think. And I invite you to the people around you, regardless if you like them or not, okay? 3, 4, 5 people, the more the better. And what you wrote down, ask them, is this me? Be 100% truthful with me. And if you're finding that more people say no, then what you think you are in reality are two different things. And you have to now really start looking deep and saying, okay, I think I'm this, but apparently I'm not communicating that in my everyday existence. Something needs to change because I'm doing stuff that I'm not even aware of. Kind of like for you salespeople, the first time you recorded a phone call and you were like, oh, that's my voice. I sound weird. I can't believe I said that. Oh my God, I stutter a lot or whatever it is. Or the first time you recorded yourself on video and you were watching yourself like this saying, what the hell is that little twitch I'm doing? Why do I keep moving my hand like that? That's what I'm talking about. You're doing so many things you don't even realize that we're not even aware of. And man, does that take balls. I remember the first time I listened to myself on the phone on a recording, I was like, man, my voice sounds so weird. Now, of course, me saying that, it sounded different, but I never heard my voice like that, like on a recording. I really had never or paid attention to it, right? We see old videos of ourselves, maybe when we're kids. We're not paying attention to that. But when you're recording a phone call for the purpose of listening to your voice, and you hear it, and you being overcritical now of your voice, like, man, I sound weird. And I remember going through those emotions, same thing with seeing myself on video, and then just almost not wanting to watch, and being like, man. But it became very clear, very quickly, what I needed to work on and make better. And because of my willingness to do that, I've gotten to where I'm at today, and I continue to grow and get better because I'm always looking for what to improve, always. It's a constant journey that never stops. So when it comes to how you handle your emotions, how you create mental images in your mind, how you carry yourself, what you want your personality to be like, you are in 100% control of that, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter the temperament or the way your parents or blood-related family, how they carried themselves, and if they were alcoholics or drug addicts or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's been scientifically proven that with your own mind, you can get away from that. You can't per se change the actual DNA, but you can change all the associations with the DNA, meaning you can create something new from that same old DNA and alter it. You will not find someone like me in my ancestry, for sure. A lot of the stuff that I'm bringing into the table now is not hereditary. It is stuff that I created. But somehow we were fooled to think, well, you know, everybody in my family died of cancer, I'm going to die of cancer. Well, everybody in my fucking family was a thug, I'm going to be a thug. Well, everybody in my family was an alcoholic, I'm going to be an alcoholic. That's not the way it works. That's just a fucking excuse. We've even heard stories of people who, there's two brothers. One of them comes from the family and so does the other one. One ends up being an alcoholic and the other one becomes a billionaire. We've heard plenty of stories like that. That's what I just told you, demonstrated. Now, they didn't explain it the way that I explained it, but when we look deeper, this is what it was. They failed to accept that. What was that? That was a fucking decision. As simple as that. Yes, my family is an alcoholic. I don't have to be an alcoholic. I'm going to change. I'm going to do better. Boom. Power of one fucking decision. Okay? With that, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we'll end it. I'll open it up to questions for 5-10 minutes, and then I'll be on my merry way with my Santa hat. First company I work for in real estate, Century 21. Century 21. Thank you for the words of wisdom. You're welcome. Tips to pass a California broker exam. I'm not a broker, no. I'm assuming the broker exam is probably a notch up more difficult than the regular real estate exam. I think you have to get a higher percentage correct, like 75. But I'm sure the test format is similar to the regular salesperson format. Did you call DNCs while making calls? Yes. You guys really got to catch up on my YouTube if you're asking me questions like that. Yes, we call everybody. I'm not going to tell you that you should. Of course, check with your brokerage. I mean, that's the legally correct shit we're supposed to say. I call them. So does my team. How do you find houses with the highest turnover? Quickest way, dude, if you're a realtor, just go in the MLS and start looking at neighborhoods that are selling, right? If I go in and I check 10 different zip codes in the areas that I want to work, whatever area has the most sales, I'm going to go there, right? Now, as far as absorption rate and all that, you can find that online, right? With a quick Google search. Yes, Alicia, they let me know where they're at. They take pepper spray with them. They never go alone. And yeah, I'll say those are the top three. And I never let them go on listing appointments or appointments by themselves or either accompanied by me or someone else. CRM, we use KV Core, Steph. KV Core. And it's amazing. And you get that for free with EXP. If you want to set something up, Snowbird Realty, shoot me a DM and we'll talk and we'll set something up. Bet you would raise your kids really good. Yeah, if I had kids, I would. The only kid I have right now is my cat. I've got loads of buyers who I work with. Some of them don't want to sign buyer rep. At that point, Bella, it's up to you if you want to work with them or not. Right? It's really up to you, right? Thank you. You're welcome. Awesome podcast, man. Thank you, Dante. Appreciate it. Hey, dude, stop running around. Crazy ass. And my cat's a little crazy like me, so he has his moments. Manager of my office worries so much. He says he worries when there's nothing to worry about. All bad. Well, you have a direct reference, Sarah. So now look. I would say, let's say somebody asked me, well, why is that such a big deal? I would take that individual you're talking about and I would say, imagine to now this person telling me, why is that important? Imagine if you were to follow this person for a day, what their day would look like. If we could go into their head and see, what do they think about everything? Like imagine asking that person, you know, what do you think about life? Imagine the answer is going to be like, oh, it's crazy and bad things happen. Their description of life would be like scary to us. Being more open thinkers, right? He would probably think like, oh, this is hell on earth and blah, 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 and nothing good ever happens. And like, I wouldn't even want to know what his answer is because it would probably sound so crazy. Anything on Fed interest rates hike? I knew it was going to happen, dude. We had historic lows. So all this stuff is kind of like, we predicted it and I was expecting it. Joe Bro, much respect. Thank you, Gabe. Have you ever flipped cars? No, I haven't. When's the next YouTube Q&A? I don't know, dude. I haven't done a YouTube Q&A in a long time. Maybe I'll start doing some more lives. Were there any people that failed to understand your mindset change and therefore you lost a friendship because of that? I've lost a ton of friends, Alex, but I don't care. It wasn't so much, I don't think people fail to understand your change. They refuse to want to accept it and be around you. That's the difference. Very few people fail to understand it, at which point if I really feel like they fail to understand it, then maybe if I cared about that individual, I'd go out of my way to educate them. But most people just don't want to accept it, right? And that's the issue. But that's okay, because then that means I'm graduating to a new level and I don't have to per se lower my level of thinking or belittle my own personal growth and changes just because somebody else doesn't like it. He would say it's the end of the world. I know people worse than that. It's crazy. a lot of my family's kind of like that, right? They worry about fucking everything. It's crazy. It's not a way to live, right? There we go, Frank. Knowledge. And for those of you who do speak Spanish, I made my first YouTube video on my Spanish channel. I'm going to be doing probably two or three videos a week on that channel. That's going to be fun to grow. Was there one person that surprised you because you changed and stopped talking? Was there one person that surprised you? Surprised me in what way? Raf, I don't think I understand your question. I don't know if you guys can hear my cat running around. He's crazy. How do you explain to people that you care about, that you care about them, that you just don't care about anything they say or think after you change your mindset? Well, it depends, Alex. Like, I have people around me, right, that, like our parents, per se, we're not going to change the way our parents think. That's good luck with that, right? That's going to be like the 300 from fucking Sparta against the world, right? I don't care how badass they are, they're still going to lose because there's only 300 of them. So it's a battle you're never going to fucking win. But again, it's not our job, right? They don't have to accept the way we think. All you can do is draw your line and say, look, I think differently than you. I know we're family. I know we're going to associate. I just expect that when we speak, you know, we're cordial, right? We don't have to be super talkative. Just, I know you have a tendency sometimes to talk about negative stuff. I don't want to hear it. Let's keep our conversations about X, Y, Z. Cool. That way we can both interact with each other neutrally, and there's no drama between us or any problems or any negativity, right? It's just about you drawing the line. See so much drama between agents sometimes, all the time, Bella, all the time. And this is why I produce people, business people, and individuals in life that are the opposite of that. And they go out and they demonstrate, and they're the example of the opposite of that, which is the right thing to be. That's how we start changing. You start change on an individual level, and as more and more individuals change, that's what perpetuates change throughout society. It starts on the individual level. But society wants to flip that and label everybody as a group. And that's what causes basically the chaos. And if you caught what I just said, then you'll understand a lot. Financial goal for 2019. What did I set? I think I have to look at my business plan again, dude, of what I put. Maybe I'll post that and do a YouTube video about that. Can you explain about your product for new agents? At this point, man, now that I made Modern Success, I'm telling everybody, regardless of what you do, to get on Modern Success. It's the most comprehensive, cost-effective program I offer. We had 4 people join today alone. 4. Get your ass on Modern Success. I don't care if you're a realtor. I don't care if you're a fucking prostitute. I don't care if you're a fucking escort. I don't care if you're a fucking gambler. I don't care if you're a fucking porn star. I don't care if you're a basketball player. Get your ass on Modern Success. What's your opinion on tarot? I heard good things about them, dude, but I don't know from personal experience. What made you change in life, mindset-wise? Just not accepting where I was, both mentally and professionally. Right? We all hit a point, I think, where it's like, okay, that's it. Like, I want changes. I see better for myself. And I just decided to go fucking all in. How much did the watch cost? The watch was a gift, brother. So I don't know how much it cost. Can't tell you. What's your opinion on Dunkin' Donuts? Well, I learned in Boston, they call it Dunks, right? Dunkin' Donuts. I don't think I ever bought a donut from there, ever. Even when I wasn't vegan. So investing in on recessions. Oh, of course, man. That's the best time. The crash of 2000, what, 8, 9, 10? More millionaires were made in that time than any time ever in the history of the world. Yeah, that's where I was, and your videos changed my attitude. Awesome, dude. Correct. LOL, I can't believe you went to Boston. Yeah. It was fun. Boston was fun. And it wasn't as cold as Utah. I figured, well, they told me the weather was nicer the days that I was there. But when I was in Utah, that shit was fucking cold. 2008, there we go, yeah. Well, one more question, boys and girls, then I got to go. When did you buy the Huracan? I bought the Lambo a year and a half ago, Tommy. It's been that long. It's been 18 months. Cool. Am I Russian? No, that's a first. I don't even look Russian, bro. Let's see. Cool. We'll end it here. Peace out, everybody. Team BC, as always, if you need us for anything worldwide real estate, let us know. TeamBCSold.com. Secondly, Modern Success. Get your ass on Modern Success. Join ModernSuccess.com or go to my website and go to the coaching tab. And eXp Realty for all of you realtors. If you're interested, go to join.exprealty.com, get your application in, or holla at me and we'll hook you up. Okay. Peace out, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next Monday at 7 p.m., same place, same time. Peace out.